In order to meet the mental health needs of New Yorkers, a group of Democratic state lawmakers and licensed creative arts therapists are pushing legislation designed to make it easier for New Yorkers to more easily access creative arts therapy. To discuss this push, we're joined in the Capitol Press Room by Assemblymember Harry Bronson, a Rochester area Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Thank you for having me.
And we're also here with Maya Benatar, a licensed creative arts therapist who specializes in work with women with anxiety, childhood trauma, and high sensitivity. Thanks for making the time, Maya.
Thank you for having me.
So, for starters, Maya, can you explain what sort of services a licensed creative arts therapist might provide and who might benefit from this type of treatment?
Of course. Creative arts therapy is psychotherapy provided via the arts, so via music, dance, drama, or art, so it's a combination of an arts modality and psychotherapy. And as far as who would benefit, that would be really anyone. So there are licensed creative arts therapists who work with prenatal populations all the way through to hospice and everything in between.
So I think a lot of people, when they think about addressing mental health, they think about the idea of an exchange of words between like a therapist and the patient. So what does the creative arts practice actually look like?
So creative arts therapy can look like nonverbal exchange of information, particularly when working with someone who does not have access to speech, someone who does not speak English, the very young, the very old. So that is, then it is communication via the arts. So via creating a song or a shared movement pattern or anything like that. The arts have been how people have connected for thousands of years, how they've expressed themselves. It's very natural.
And you are a licensed creative arts therapist. So what does it mean to be licensed in the state of New York?
Great question. I love that. To be licensed in the state of New York, you need to have a master's degree from an approved program. There are 14, I believe, throughout the state. And then to complete postgraduate training hours, and then to be licensed by the state. And then to complete continuing education every 3 years.
And how did you end up in this field? Because I have to be honest with you, I was not that familiar with creative arts therapy before I got the pitch for this interview. So how did you become aware of it?
I became aware of it. I was doing an AOL search when I was trying to figure out what I wanted
AOL
to do.
AOL search. Yes. Now you're dating yourself, Maya.
I know. What I'm trying to figure out what I wanted to study.
Were you getting music from Napster, too? I mean, come on.
I mean, it's possible. This was a long time ago.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out what I wanted to major in undergrad. And my mother is a social worker. And so I almost became a social worker. And then I was doing an AOL search and I stumbled on music therapy, which is one of the creative arts therapy modalities. And music has always been incredibly powerful for me. I was actually named after a song. Bonus points to anyone who knows it. It's quite obscure. And here we are.
I'll have to do an Ask Jeeves search to tell me what it tells me about Maya songs. But right now, if I'm a New Yorker who thinks creative arts therapy might be the right path of treatment for me, or I just want to explore it as an option, what are the barriers that you might face to trying to access this field?
That's what these bills are all about, because if we're truly talking about access to mental health services, to psychotherapy, then you have to be able to pay for them. So the two bills that I carry along with Senator Sommer Brook are bills that would require reimbursement for the services, psychotherapy services of licensed creative art therapists from commercial insurance companies. So if they're providing commercial insurance for health, they would also have to require reimbursement for this type of work by licensed creative art therapists. The second bill is about Medicaid. So those people who are on Medicaid, right now, if they're getting therapy through a licensed creative art therapist, that therapist is not able to directly bill Medicaid for payment. They can get payment if they work with an organization and the organization can bill for the services. But if they're on their own, they can't bring in patients that are covered by Medicaid. So this is really about access and making sure that folks who need these services, and you know, I think it's important for us to remember, these are folks with master's degrees licensed through the state of New York to do psychotherapy through the modality of art and creative art. So there are individuals who really need that aspect, a nonverbal individual, some people with autism. I had an experience at Mary Cariola, which is a school in my district that helps people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. A young person around 7 or 8 years old was nonverbal. And through creative art therapy, through a music therapist, he ultimately was able to become the ability to speak. Other therapies may not have worked for him. And so that's why it's important to have this array of modalities in psychotherapy so that we can meet the needs of everyone.
So right now, Maya, how do you go about billing people that you serve? Are they paying out of pocket for the most part?
A lot of them pay out of pocket. Some of them do get out-of-network reimbursement, but like the assembly member said, it is not, we don't have comprehensive coverage, so some insurance companies will cover, most will not at this point, and I have to turn away so many people who want this modality, will benefit from this modality, have maybe worked with a creative arts therapist in the past, and their insurance won't cover it.
Well, before we move on, let me reintroduce you for listeners who are just joining us. We're talking about efforts to expand access to creative arts therapy in New York, and our guests are Assemblymember Harry Bronson, a Rochester area Democrat who chairs his chamber's committee on labor, and we're also speaking with Maya Benatar, a licensed creative arts therapist who specializes in work with women with anxiety, childhood trauma, and high sensitivity. So if there are listeners who are going, creative arts therapy sounds like some sort of pseudoscience to me, how would you pitch them on the idea that this is a good investment? You want commercial insurers to cover this. You want Medicaid to easily be paying for these services because there are positive outcomes, which will then save the state money in the long run.
Absolutely. There's extensive amounts of research that prove the efficacy of creative arts therapy with a wide variety of populations.
Assemblymember, as you make the case for this amongst your colleagues, do you find any pushback on that point? Do you find that you have to educate people about creative arts therapy?
Yeah, I think there is an element of education because not everyone has been exposed to it. And oftentimes when you're thinking about mental health counseling or mental health therapists, you think of particular professions, psychiatrists, psychology, and mental health counselors, those other professions. But, you know, I would remind folks that the licensure of a licensed creative art therapist came about in 2002 at the same time that we created licenses for mental health counselors and marriage and family therapists. They are required by the state to have a certain amount of curriculum education, higher education. They're required to get a master's degree. They're required to have clinical hours done, all of which then qualifies them under current New York State law to do psychotherapy. All we're saying is all of those other professions are reimbursed through Medicaid. All of those other professions are reimbursed through required commercial insurance carriers. We're just saying, let's add the LCATs, the licensed creative art therapists.
So I have to imagine somewhere the New York State Health Plan Association is listening to this interview, big fans of the Capitol Press Room, and they're saying, great, another mandate for commercial insurers. Well, if they pass this, it just means we're going to have higher premiums for our coverage. Are they right, or is this something that can be absorbed by commercial insurers without premium costs, or are the premium costs worth it?
Well, my first answer to that question is, if people are in need, we should be providing the services. We have a mental health crisis. We have a workforce crisis in the mental health industry. We need to address that. One way to address that is by having additional people be able to take on these individuals who could benefit from this modality. So that's number one, is the right thing to do. Number two, if we don't take care of this, if we don't help people who are in need of these services, then we're only going to be paying the costs further down the road. And then lastly, we already have Timothy's Law on the books. And Timothy's Law said we need parity between medical health coverage and mental health coverage. There is a gap here, and that's why, as Maya indicated, some carriers provide for the reimbursement, some don't. I would argue under Timothy's Law, they already should be doing this. We're just going to make sure that we have that expressly stated in law.
One thing that's really important when it comes to insurance is that LCATS provide psychotherapy. We use the exact same CPT procedure codes to bill insurance as any other psychotherapist. So as a psychologist, as a mental health counselor, as a social worker, as far as insurance is concerned, it is the exact same code for 45 minutes is 90834, regardless of which license type you have.
And in terms of the share of licenses in New York, I have to imagine that the mental health counselors are the vast majority of the licensed mental health practitioners. But are there a good number of licensed creative arts therapists?
There are. There are over 2,100 licensed creative arts therapists. It's the second largest group of Article 163 mental health practitioner licensees.
And so it seems then people view this as an important career path, and I imagine it's probably a growing one as well.
It is, and there are 14 graduate school programs around New York State that train creative arts therapists all over the state.
And if this isn't allowed, what is the outcome like for someone who traditional therapy doesn't work and creative arts therapy is really the best way to treat their needs? I mean, what happens if they're denied these services?
I guess a couple of things could happen. They could sit on wait lists. I have colleagues who have wait lists that are 6 months plus for children and families who want to work with a creative arts therapist and whose children only respond to this modality because this is how children process and express emotions. So children and families in particular will keep sitting on long wait lists, or people will go without care.
And do you think if this package of bills is adopted that it will incentivize even more people to enter this field if there's a reason to believe that they might be able to get paid for their services?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, everyone likes to make a good living and they deserve to do that. And so I think it could only bolster the graduate school programs and the people who are coming into the field.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this topic today. We've been speaking with Maya Benatar. She's a licensed creative arts therapist. Maya, thanks for visiting us.
Thank you for having me.
And we've also been talking with Assemblymember Harry Bronson. He is a Rochester area Democrat. Thank you for visiting us, Assemblymember.
Thanks for having me on.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.